Welcome to Podcastonomics, a show dedicated to the business of podcasting. Here, we will discover how you can take your business to the next level through the power of this exciting content medium. Each episode is power-packed and designed for you to take action. So let's get over to our host, Craig Hewitt.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Podcastonomics. Today on the show, I have Alex Haddix from the Practical Defense Podcast. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, we were just talking a bit before we started, but, you know, the real theme of the show is kind of the business of podcasting. I think a lot of people are talking about podcasting these days, and a ton of people are getting into it. I know you've been at it for a while, so you're not one of these sort of newer people to the realm. But we really love to dig into sort of this, I don't want to say too specific, but the really sort of pertinent ways that podcasting is fitting into not just your content marketing strategy, but directly affecting your business and stuff. So I guess with that, you want to give folks a little bit of an idea of what your show is about and how podcasting is kind of affecting your business?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to put a disclaimer here right up front. It's going to be a cautionary tale
and
more of an example of what not to do. So my show is the Practical Defense Podcast, and it's about personal protection and personal safety for, you know, the home, out and about, and for your family. I started the podcast back in 2007. I've got well over 200 episodes and, you know, over 100 hours worth of material. And I went about it completely wrong. And I've taken almost 2 years off of the podcast to try and reset things. Now, what I mean I went at it wrong is that I originally got into podcasting because it was cool and fun, but also because I wanted to promote my seminars. Seminars are local, right? I wasn't traveling to do the seminars. Podcasting is global. So the show was extremely popular. You know, when I took about a 22-month break, I was getting over 100,000 downloads a month.
Wow, that's massive.
But what happened was I had nothing to sell. I had no product. So I had this massive audience, devoted followers, people I would get emails every day asking questions, commenting, everything from international law enforcement, international law enforcement asking permission to use my episodes and their training that they teach to the general public. You know, it was a very popular show, but I had nothing to sell. I mean, I wrote a book. I sold, you know, the book is, you know, selling very, very well. And I made it, you know, pretty high on the Amazon list for a little while, but I never made any money off of the show. Because I didn't have a product, and that was my biggest failing. I thought my product was going to be the seminars, but man, I underestimated how that type of market would work.
Interesting. So you think the failing there, or I should say the shortcoming there, was trying to sell a local product to a, I'll say, remote audience?
Absolutely. No question about it.
And so now, have you transitioned that to online content?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I've done.
And the results are stellar, I'm sure.
Well, actually still beginning. So I took 22 months off, and during that time, I launched a security guard training company. And I was with the target market being professional security officers. We're licensed by the state of California, and we're continuing to develop programs for other states. We're the first to offer an online training program for the state of Arizona that's fully certified by the Arizona Department of Public Safety. And we're continuing to expand and move into that area. So I was, you know, there was just a question of the amount of time, right? Got my contract in business. And that's, computer contracting, not house building or anything like that type of contracting.
Sure.
And
sure.
Then we're trying to run the security guard company and get that up off the ground, developing content materials for that. And there was just so much time, right? You know, I have a family. So something had to give. And so I just, you know, I stopped the Practical Defense podcast, you know, at its peak. I just kind of walked away from it for a while. And about 2 months ago, I re-entered podcasting, and I started podcasting for the Practical Defense again. But rather than being a weekly show, I moved it to being like, every 4 to 6 weeks. And I launched a brand new show called the Security Professionals Podcast. And that is targeted as a free continuing education program for the private security industry. And that's doing quite well. I mean, it has hit the ground running. A lot of the people that listen to my old show have moved over to the new show. And I'm getting results in the first 2 months that I didn't get with the first show in the first 18 months.
When you say results, what do you mean?
Interest, downloads.
Okay. Engagement.
Yes, engagement. People sending me emails and, you know, people picking up the show and talking about it.
Cool. So moving Practical Defense from weekly to every 4 to 6 weeks, talk through the logic of that and kind of what it's turned out like sort of as you've rolled it out.
Well, I lost huge numbers of people because I took off for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you know, other shows have come up and disappeared in that time. The market actually now, there are a lot more people talking about that subject than there ever were when I was covering it. And so there's more competition now, but I still don't have a product. And I'm continuing the show because I want to, not because I'm actually making any money off of it, which is why it's every 4 to 6 weeks. So it's more for the fans of the show, more for me, because I'm really kind of unwilling to give it up because it's, you know, it's your first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to keep it going. But it's at this point a labor of love. And the show that is for marketing and promotion and to sell products is the Security Professionals Podcast.
Gotcha. And product development is, I guess, underway, I would think, if you're a couple months into it. Doing the show. Yep. Cool.
Yeah. We've got nine or ten episodes posted already, and I started. I mean, doing the Practical Defense podcast was amazing. I was exposed to more things and new people that I never would have come into contact before, and it was an absolute joyful experience. It was so much fun. I got to meet and train with Masada Yu, who is one of the international experts on firearms and defensive firearms, you know, and it, you know, there are things that I, and doors that were open to me that never would have been opened if I hadn't done the show. And it probably would not have allowed me to move on and do the Security Professionals podcast and a lot of this other material that I do now. So it was not a waste of time. It was absolutely worth every effort, and it was a lot of fun.
Cool. That's awesome. Are you still doing seminars, like in-person seminars?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I'm not even doing that anymore because it was so difficult. It was, you know, everybody that wanted to take them were out of state. And, I live in Los Angeles, and so the competition for attention and time is extremely difficult. I even flew out and hosted a seminar for Masada Yub, and we made some money, but not as much money as he would have made in other states. So it's just very, very a difficult place to be for that type of information out here in LA.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. I mean, LA is just in general super competitive. We lived for 3 years in San Diego, and just being kind of just downstream, I know what, you know, just what a giant market LA is. And it's just, I can't imagine trying to compete on a local level there.
Yeah, so the global markets, the online programs, the books, the videos, those types of things really are much better suited towards podcasting because it's global.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I learned that the hard way.
Yeah, well, that's all good lessons are learned the hard way, I think, right?
At least the most memorable ones.
Yeah. So, you know, for folks just kind of getting into podcasting now, that haven't been around for 280 episodes or however many you have now at this point, like a lot of things have changed. Like you said, shows have come and gone from when you first started the Practical Defense podcast until now. What are you seeing in terms of marketing a podcast? You've said you got good initial traction with your new show. What sort of things maybe have changed, and what are you seeing particularly effective with marketing podcasts now?
I think that you really have to promote primarily most of your own material and your own products, because there is such a plethora of podcasts out there that a lot of people say, well, it does sell advertising. I know very few people that make money selling advertising on their shows.
No, yeah, yeah.
You know, you just have to have millions of followers, right? Mm-hmm. Not hundreds of thousands, but millions, in order to do that, to get the interest. There are niche markets where I have seen people make a lot of money, and those shows are, you know, very, very niche specific, like firearms shows, or the prepper market. You know, these are areas,
because
I do personal protection and private security and firearms training. I go into a lot of these different areas, and I kind of see that. But like the prepper market is unbelievably huge, people are making a lot of money in there right now. I don't know how hot that's going to be, or for how long.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that anywhere you can get, and this is not a slam on that group, but anytime you can get people with sort of an irrational emotion about what they are focused on or wanting to spend money on, I think it makes it a good market. And not that those people are irrational, but they feel very strongly about that topic.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I get a lot of crossover into my area, because I do personal protection and personal defense, so there's some crossover, but mm-hmm. I never entered fully into that market. You get in too deep and it gets scary.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot of money to be made over there.
Yeah.
I just haven't been able to, and really don't have an interest in moving into that area. I've even been approached by publishers to write specifically to that market, and didn't do it.
Yeah, interesting. One of the things that we talk about, you know, within our company and on the show here a little bit, is bringing people from what I call like on-air engagement. So you and I are talking right now. People are going to listen to this show, think it's great, and then want to do something. And on a website, that's relatively easy. You put a button or an opt-in or a whatever. On podcasting, it's a little harder, because the people have to go from their iPhone and then the app to go to a website and do something. And the bridging that gap is a little harder. Have you mastered that, you think, or do you have any particularly keen insights on how to do that best?
No. Sorry.
You're like everyone else then. That's good to hear.
Yeah, it's
I don't feel terrible about myself.
No, don't feel terrible at all. It is really difficult, because it's astounding that I would get 100,000 downloads a month. I would get maybe 3 or 4 emails a day. The Facebook page would have maybe a couple of posts per week. You know, so the social media interaction was not reflected in the amount of downloads that I had.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why? What is this disconnect? It was huge. You know, it was just, you know, the ratio was insane. And I could never really quite figure it out. Some people say, well, it's because people listen to it on the drive time, and by the time they get to the office, then, you know, they get busy and they forget.
Yeah.
And then listen on the go at the gym. And most of the people, you know, I posted my shows on Sundays specifically so that they would be available for download over Sunday night or first thing Monday morning for the Monday morning drive time.
I like that. I post, I have a couple of podcasts, and I post one of them in the evenings for that particular reason. If you post it at 9 o'clock at night, I don't know exactly what the algorithm is with folks' iPhones, but I like that it's ready if someone leaves at 6 in the morning, it's ready for them, instead of just waiting until the next day.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually had people complain that sometimes that I try to keep my shows very compact. I don't like to just wander all over the place. So the shows were, you know, between 10 and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I did have some people complain that it wasn't long enough because their commute was like 30 to 45 minutes.
All right, listen to two then. It's great.
Well, you listen to too many of my shows, it makes you paranoid.
Yeah, right. Cool. Well, we try to keep this show compact to, you know, 20 minutes is kind of the goal. But in that vein, so a little bit of success with the new show, Practical Defenses, on a bit of different schedule now. What is your vision for sort of growing your podcasts and then monetizing them with your products? What's the next? You know, it's the middle of September now. What's the till the end of the year look like?
For my shows?
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep going. I'm using the exact same model that I use for Practical Defense for the Security Professionals podcast, except that I throw in advertisements for the training and the training programs that we sell.
Okay.
That model worked before. It you know, took a couple of years to really catch on. It was about 2 years before it exploded. And then once it broke a certain threshold, it just snowballed and started growing and growing and growing and growing much faster. It looks like the new show is going to do that much sooner, which I'm very thankful for. And then once that happens, again, the show's only been out for 2 months, so that it's nothing. It's very nascent at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so we probably won't see any huge results almost for a year. This is a long game for us. It's not a quick, make a quick buck. It's investing the time and the product and the content. You have to have good content, otherwise people aren't going to come back.
Yeah.
And the ads can't be extremely obtrusive, because people won't come back. If all it is one giant advertising block, then there's no value, no content. So it really is about providing good quality content. And if you are trying to sell advertising, which I don't think is viable, and in all of my experience, you need to keep it clean. You need to keep the quality high. I noticed there were several good shows that had good content, but the people just cursed like sailors through the whole thing. And I was like, I can't even listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's high production quality, keeping the content clean, keeping the content relevant and have value. And then the soft sell of the products is the approach we're taking.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I look at the folks from Copyblogger, the folks behind Studio Press and Genesis and all this, and they are 100% on this bandwagon right now of using a podcast as their kind of go-to content medium right now, which is really interesting since they are, Copyblogger and started out as a very written, copywriting-focused content marketing organization. Now they are all into podcasting. They have a whole suite of podcasts, and then turns around that they use those all to sell primarily information products and a little bit of software. But I think that's the real secret sauce, is use a podcast to build an audience, gather awareness around the topic, like you said, have killer content and produce it very well, and then have that be an avenue through which you're able to bring those people in off the air and to provide them the resources they need through your products.
Absolutely, because a good quality, high-value content podcast is like a free demo of what your other material is. So as long as your material is, and the assumption is that all your material is of that high quality, why not purchase it? It's a try before you buy. It's the old software, the freeware model, where you get to play the game, get to play the first couple of levels, and then, you buy the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah, I've not heard it explained that way, but that's a great analogy, yeah. For anybody that's older than 25, that's a great analogy. I mean, I'm dating myself a little, right?
Me too.
Yeah. Cool. Well, Alex, can you tell folks where they can find out about both your shows and some of the products you've developed around, personal defense?
Sure. The book that I have is Practical Home Security, A Guide to Safer Urban Living, and it's available everywhere. Kindle version, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes bookstore. The show is called Practical Defense. You can find it on practicaldefense.com. And the Security Professionals podcast is hung off of our main security training website, which is security-training-center.com/podcast, and that'll take you to all the episodes. One thing we're actually doing new with this one is we're actually taking the audio show and putting it up on YouTube.
How's that working out?
It fortunately doesn't take me much time, but it's a new area and a new audience. So people that have never, my old fans, look for me on iTunes. They've never looked for it on YouTube. And if there's no video per se with the show, it's the same audio track you get on iTunes, But what I do is I put up logos, and I put up sometimes some text feed to go along with the show to enhance it a little bit, but I don't spend a whole lot of time. So it's just another way of getting the audio content.
So just rolling a handful of slides over a 15-minute show, maybe?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that.
I got the template down now, so I can do the whole thing in less than 15 minutes. I can put out the YouTube version.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a huge tangent, but that is, we're going to be developing a bit of a podcasting course soon. And that is going to be the way we do the video, is a little bit of headshot work, but a lot of just text on black words. Or black letters on a white background, and put my voice to it. I think it's just really effective, and for me, it's a good way for people to absorb what you're saying. Not all the fancy animations and stuff. It's just a nice way for people to be able to see the words you're speaking, and really helps retention and everything.
Yeah, it's actually like an online training program at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're putting a lot more production value into your YouTubes than I do for mine. Because for me, it's just a secondary, a real tertiary way of distributing the content, so I don't put a whole lot of effort into that. I put more into writing and developing and doing high-quality audio.
Sure.
The YouTube stuff is kind of an aside.
Yeah,
to help grab a little bit of an extra audience.
That's a great tip. I appreciate it. Cool. Alex, thanks so much for hopping on today. I appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Yep.
I generally don't talk about the business side on anything I do.
Yeah, I just need to talk about how people look at podcasts in general as kind of being a hobby, I guess. And our goal is to really promote that it really is a big part of a lot of people's business.
Yeah, no question. It can really enhance, and it's a great marketing tool if used properly.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, Alex, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Podcastonomics. To get exclusive content and in-depth discussions of this episode, head over to podcastonomics.com. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review in iTunes. Until next time, go make your future happen today.